the moment. And in the envelope is a tiny, tiny seed. And I don't want you to open the envelope for two reasons. If you open the envelope, you might not even be able to see the seed. It's that small, but it is in there, trust me. But also, of course, you'd lose it and it would go all over the place. Now, if you look carefully, we've gone to the bother of writing on the front what that seed is. It says yellow rattle. Yellow rattle. And it is so tiny. Anybody come across yellow rattle before? Yeah, a couple of you have clicked in straight away as to where we're going, I think you've guessed. Yellow rattle is an unusual thing and seed. It actually works a bit like a parasite in that once it's sown and germinates and grows, it does something really quite extraordinary. It likes to pinch, to steal the nutrients and the water from the grass around it. And so the grass eventually dies and other seeds can flourish. Isn't that amazing? Now this is the third stage of my experiment that's going to take place. I've not yet sown yellow rattle, so I'm going to be sowing some yellow rattle, probably not quite this time of year. But it made me think how important sometimes it is to get rid of some of the weeds in our lives before the better things can grow. We're going to be hearing a bit about this later in the parable of the sower. Sometimes we have to get rid of the weeds. We have to find a way of getting rid of things before God's goodness and God's love and God's words can take full place in our lives. Now, if you're brave enough, and don't do it publicly, please, if you're brave enough, take this home with you as a gift from me. I don't know how much the seed individually cost, it's that small, but never open it because you'll never see it, I don't think, hardly, that small. But maybe do one thing for me. Think about it at least. Maybe write on the other bit that's left on the front of the envelope the weeds in your life you'd like to get rid of. The things that you would like were sometimes not there. And then why not slip it in something like a Bible, a diary, something where only you might occasionally look at and think about, maybe even pray about. The importance of getting rid of stuff in our lives for God's goodness and God's love, God's words to enter in. So please do keep it as a reminder, and every time you think of it, you'll be able to think of that extravagant gift that Trevor gave you one day. Or you'll be able to use it as an offertory envelope. There you are. There we go. God bless you, but do think about that which you need to get rid of first. 45. It kind of envisions the kingdom of God as people expected and wanted it to be, as the psalmist longed for it to be. And then in contrast to that, the parable of the sower. So first in Psalm 45, 1-6. My heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready, skillful writer. You are the most excellent of men, and your lips have been anointed with grace, since God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword on your side, you mighty one. Clothe yourselves with splendor and majesty. In your majesty, ride forth victoriously in the cause of truth, humility and justice. Let your right hand achieve awesome deeds. Let your sharp arrows pierce the hearts of the king's enemies. Let the nations fall before beneath your feet. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. And then, in contrast, and Jesus told so many parables about what the kingdom of God would look like under God's rule and reign. And the parable of the sower is to be understood in that context as well. Matthew 13 and verses 1 to 15. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. And then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns which grew up and choked the plants. But still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Then the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even that will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has been calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Amen. Shall we just pray for a moment? The parable of the sower. One or two of you here will have heard this parable, I'm sure, on many, many occasions. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. It's a lovely picture. I'm told, actually, if you do some certain tours of the Holy Land, perhaps when it was less precarious than it is at present, sometimes the tour guide would do exactly this. Get into a boat, sail it, go a little bit out, and you would hear the natural echo off the lake and the shore, and you could hear it without amplification or anything. He would speak to you. Now, in Matthew's Gospel, this occurs by the side of a lake. A large crowd has gathered around Jesus. And it's ironic, isn't it? There's the lake, there's fishermen, there's people. And what does he do? He tells them a parable about sowing seeds. Don't you find that ironic? He tells them a parable by this lakeside of sowing seeds. Why does he do it? Well, he always uses parables from what I would call the natural world, from the things that people see every day. Did you know that if you'd been alive in Palestine as Jesus tells this parable, you would have been used to seeing what he describes all the time? A peasant farmer with a strapped satchel, as it were, over their shoulder, with his piece of land, walking and scattering seed. And you'd have been used to seeing it, and Jesus uses that which comes from everyday life. But here's the thing that we don't understand. In an agricultural economy back then, what the man is doing is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of life and death. For apart from a very few wealthy people, everyone who's hearing the parable knows that whenever they see the scattering of those seeds, their lives, to some extent, depend on it. Will there be a harvest for the bread that they will eat? And when you realise that what you're observing is a matter of life and death, the parable takes on a slightly greater significance. The success of the farmer suddenly really matters. Now, I don't want to show of hands to this, because you might not want to admit to it, but some of you may have watched Clarkson's Farm, or at least seen an episode or two of it. I'm told that farmers are delighted that the programme was made. Not because they're foolish in the sense of not realising that much of it is staged, much of it is put on, much of it is well prepared. They know that. Anybody watching it can see that. But you know, here's the extraordinary thing. In this year, 2024, the machinery that farmers use does amazing things. It predicts where the seed will grow, where this will happen. It collects it all. But you know, they still can't guarantee the harvest of the crop. That's why farmers have applauded the programme, because it shows just how difficult task it is to be a farmer. What they're observing here in the parable of Jesus to you might seem an everyday event, to them was a matter of life or death. Now, why does Jesus tell this parable amongst a whole load of parables about what the kingdom of God looks like and should be announced like? Why does he do this? He does it because he wants, in particular, the disciples to know that not everybody is going to react in the same way to the news that the kingdom of God has come. You could describe the parable a bit like this. It's about people's reactions when they don't hear what they want to hear. It's a bit like, isn't it, when you turn on the television and you're faced with someone whose view you don't agree with and you want to turn it off. That's what's happening quite a bit in this parable. Jesus wants his disciples to know that people, when they understand the nature of his kingdom, its love, its compassion, its welcome, its invite, will actually want to reject it. Because they'll want something much more like the psalmist declared. Let your right hand achieve awesome deeds. Let your sharp arrows pierce the hearts of the king's enemies. Let the nations fall beneath your feet. That's what they want. And Jesus wants to warn his disciples. The kingdom, when it comes, is going to be nothing like what you expect. It will come, as we know, through the sacrifice, through the love of Jesus on the cross. It will come through his resurrection. It will come through his overcoming death. Nothing like what the people wanted and expected to hear. Now Jesus teaches his disciples that in this vast crowd, there are people who are going to react to his bringing in of the kingdom in at least four different ways. You heard them described there. You heard them described firstly as those who aren't even listening at all. You know, the seed by the path and the rock. The seed on the side. Those who have no intention of listening to the kingdom of God and the good news of Jesus. And then there is those who spring up quickly amongst the rock and there's enough soil. But quickly the sun comes and they're distracted and away. And then, and this is where your yellow rattle comes in, that there are those who appear to really take it on board and to really grow and to really bring some understanding. And then the cares of life and the troubles and the distress come in and the weeds of life come in and they fall away. But finally, and thankfully, and we will end with this in a moment, there are those seeds that grow and there is an abundance of harvest. Now, if Jesus, and notice what he does, his explanation for the parable is for the disciples. He wants them to know that their sharing of the kingdom, I would dare to say he wants you to know today, that your sharing of the kingdom will not always meet with an abundant harvest. Now, how does any of this help us today? Well, two or three things. The first is, take some comfort from the possibility of failure. That seems a strange thing to say, doesn't it? But in this parable, if you're a preacher, if you're a Christian, and if you want people to know God's abundant love for them, take some comfort in the knowledge that however well you share it, some people may well reject it. Now, I don't normally go around saying to people, look out for failure and take some comfort from it. None of us here particularly expect or want failure, do we? But here's the thing. You can't do everything. You cannot do everything. In my years in ministry, I have always kept this piece of scruffy paper on my study notice board. It acts as a reminder to me if I maybe try to do too much, if I'm disappointed, if I'm a little bit downcast. These are some beautiful words from Oscar Romero. He was Archbishop of San Salvador. He was martyred in 1980. And this is what he said about announcing the kingdom of God. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is a way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says all that could be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings wholeness. No program. Oh, I wish sometimes the churches would learn this. No program accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives includes everything. This is what we're about. We plant the seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. Don't expect or desire failure, but do realize you cannot do everything. However, that is never an excuse for doing nothing. It is never an excuse for doing nothing. Each of you will have a role to play, things to do, to announce to this community that the kingdom of God was established through the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. It's a reality that will one day be complete. And your task is to invite this community to join that glorious kingdom movement. So yes, prepare for the possibility of failure, but never make it an excuse to do nothing. I'll move quickly through this next one. The parable reminds us to keep growing your faith. Never stop growing. Always keep growing. Stay focused on the things that matter. This is an age, I think, when our faith can wander, when we so easily get lost in all sorts of things. Stay focused. Do you know why I love the parables? I love the parables because there, if you really stop and read them, and Jesus' words in the gospel, if you add them all together, there are the values and the precepts by which to live your lives. They're beautifully laid out. And if only we could focus our thoughts and our intentions on those things, our lives might look different. Our world might even look different as the kingdom of God grows. The precepts are all there. Jeremiah had a lovely phrase, I can't quite remember it, but was it something like, he envisages a time, if you like, when the words of God are on the minds of the people. Focus on the right things, on these beautiful parables, on the words of Jesus in the gospel. Focus on these things and let them become the values and the precepts of your life. Next, do something about the weeds. Do something about the weeds. A word of comfort for our young friends here this morning. I'm old enough now to have a bus pass. I'm going to mock some of these now, so you're all right. I'm old enough now to have a bus pass. And I have a phrase, I don't think Jackie likes me using it very much, but you know, all these different places offer you Tuesday. Did you know you can go to Chepstow Garden Centre and get 10 or 20% off if you're above a certain age? Anybody been? No, we didn't know that name. Yes, a couple have. All right. We pull up in the car park sometimes on a Tuesday morning. We don't go too often, but we pull up and I will use my phrase, which is, oh, look, here come all the other grumpy dumpies arriving. Here come all the other grumpy dumpies arriving. There's a serious point to this, in that the temptation is to think that sin, as we might call it, or the things that destroy our lives, the temptation is to think they're the product of the young, that they cause them, that they're experimenting, does this, that, or the other. Do you know what? I want to challenge myself and you and all the other grumpy dumpies this morning and say, you know, maybe as you get older, the weeds get more established. As you get older, maybe the weeds get more established. And maybe some of us have to work harder to try and get rid of the weeds from our lives. There's a bit of a challenge there. Think of that yellow rattle. Think of that which you would like to get rid of in your life, for God's word to come in and fill it with abundance and love. There's much talk today of mindfulness in schools, in our lives, and they talk about it in different ways, living in the moment, controlling your anxiety. Much of it has come about for good reason, in the sense of concern for the mental health of our young. And it's certainly not all bad. Understanding the neuroscience of the brain is a really good thing. In a very small way, you could argue what we do in Music for Memories has, it's all located around the neuroscience of how the brain works. But here's the thing. It's one thing to control your anxieties and your confusion, your concern. Sometimes you have to get rid of things in your life, and sometimes you have to replace them. And that's where these beautiful words of God come in. Sometimes you have to get rid of something to have that which is fulfillment. I understand the need to control your anxiety, your concerns. I have a bench in the garden where if the morning was sunny enough and warm enough, I actually really enjoy just sitting on the bench with a cup of coffee, praying, watching the birds on the bird feeder, and I almost forget where I am, and prayer suddenly takes on a lovely, beautiful moment. I get all that stuff, but I know there are often things in my life I need to get rid of first, to replace them with something of God's goodness and God's love. I was talking with somebody recently, and theirs was an extraordinary conversion to faith in Jesus. One of the more unusual ones I've heard of, in that their life had reached rock bottom, totally rock bottom. A number of things had happened, but yet they kept hearing a voice, which they now know to be God, speaking words to them. Words like, it will get better. And this went on, and it started to get better, and then the person realized they needed actually to be saved. They needed to open their lives to Jesus. And so they prayed a prayer. Now here's the salutary thing. It took that person 2 years then before they walked through the doors of a church. Do you know why? Because they were trying always to build up the courage to walk through the doors of a church. It's not about you, but I find that quite scary and quite sad. But you know what encourages me about that? Is that even when I mess up, and even when you mess up, God is still speaking into people's lives. Isn't that beautiful? That even when we can't get it right, the seeds are being sown. Isn't that glorious? Final thought. Look out for and enjoy the harvest. This is where I can say something nice to you instead of calling you grumpy dumpies. Not that I was, of course, I was calling myself a grumpy dumpy. I don't know about you, but I reckon maybe through busyness, life, other things, I reckon we miss the seeds of the harvest and something of the harvest all the time. I reckon there's so much that we miss. Can I say we've been here now exactly 12 months in retirement, and it's my opportunity to say thank you for your really lovely welcome. I can't tell you how much we've appreciated the welcome we've received here at Colford, but across the forest, the people we've met, the people we've come into contact. But here's the thing. I look back on those 12 months and I can see how God has given us this contact and that person and this person. And you realise this is how the kingdom works. And you realise that if you don't stay awake, you miss the harvest. You miss the fact that all these pieces are occurring and are in place. So thank you for being part of the seeds of the kingdom for us. Thank you for your welcome these last 12 months. But in your own life, here at Lidbrook, in your own lives, what did Jesus say? Those who have ears to hear, those who have eyes to see. Keep looking for the seeds of the harvest. Don't miss out on them. The sunflower there is actually one, I showed you my complete failure earlier. The sunflower there is one that I've grown. And I wanted our grandchildren to know from quite young. They were with us in Easter. They're coming back in a couple of weeks, so I'm hoping some of them will still be out. I wanted them to know that you don't walk into a garden centre, as many of us here do, and buy a plant, and that's how it is. I wanted them to know that a tiny seed can produce something as big and as glorious as that. If you never learn that lesson, you miss out on the miracle of life, and you just think you walk into a garden centre, a flower shop, and buy it. I wonder how many of us are missing out on the miracles of the kingdom, the little things, the wonderful things. I wonder how we might be missing them. I've given you your yellow rattle as a challenge. I conclude with another challenge. This week, why not pray, dare to pray, for God to surprise you? Why not dare to pray for God to surprise you? With a conversation, with a meeting, with something that happens. Why not dare to ask and to pray? If you have ears to hear and eyes to see. You know the wonderful way that passage finishes? Jesus says, I will heal them. Amen.